Welcome to welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 19th, 2024. Very exciting. Let me set my little clock up. Hi, Dorothy. Let's start.
Hello.
Ready to go?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. All right. So Dorothy is a cash flow cat, and she's a performing arts coach for those looking to level up their skills with individualized lessons and practice. Victory report, all of your college-bound students got into their first choice programs. Congratulations. That's awesome. That's a fantastic feather in your cap. 100%. So your question is, you're finding it challenging to build your client base due to your other income sources. This summer, you're working multiple contracts and your availability for individual sessions will be quite low. How do you use this time to increase booked sessions starting in August? So, if I'm hearing that correctly, you have other jobs and it's like I can't have that many appointments, but you will have it will open up in August.
Correct. Correct.
And you'd like to hit August with some bookings.
Yes.
Yes. So, how would you normally approach this challenge? Like, how would you, what would you do, or what's have you done in the past? Has anything worked for you in the past in this situation?
Honestly, like pursuing private clients is new for me. So this whole like transitioning into private clients, that's very
Okay.
new. Like if it was other things that I would be going out to, if it was group classes or whatever, then I would be going out to previous vendors, and being like, hey, this is my availability for the fall, like that. So, but I'm trying to find like new clients. So that's, yeah, like the clients that I have been from kind of responding to comments and queries that have been on Facebook groups in like dance teachers or tap community, other like the mom groups of Los Angeles kind of jam. That's how I've been getting my current clients. But yeah, summer's a whole other animal. Everybody kind of like switches their schedule. So I'm just wanting to make sure that by the time we're all switching and scheduling fall, that I'm the first person that they schedule. Because that's what I want to do. It's like I want to have like Monday and Tuesday be my coaching days. And then, do you know what I mean? Like that's the goal.
Okay. And do you have a place already where if someone's interested, they can go online and like schedule, like reserve dates, pay for them? How?
Not yet,
Okay.
not
So it's
yet, but that is in the works. I do have a web person who's ready to do it, and I have a Calendly account
okay.
set up so they can. That's in the works, yeah.
Okay. And through Calendly, the last time I checked Calendly, does Calendly process any payments for you, or you collect the money separately and then they use Calendly to schedule?
I think there's the opportunity to use it. I have not used it in that way.
And you don't have to, by the way. I think what I'm trying to say is, if it's done separately and not through one particular app, like if you want them to Zelle you the money, get the payment first, then give the scheduling link. So that even if they have to reschedule, the payment's been paid.
Yes.
So when you are looking to, like, you want someone to kind of make a buying decision now and get on your calendar for August, September, October, November.
Yeah.
Then it's about, I think, two things. One is having some sort of package that they're buying, not just an individual lesson. And so they have to make one buying decision. It's for a little bit more money and it's for multiple sessions, most likely. And it's a package and you name it, it's a thing. And the second thing is, is you, I think, have to be specific about what they are buying. What problem are they looking to work on that you will help them solve? What are they trying to achieve that you will help, that this package will help get them there? So
Okay.
tell me a little bit about the type of student you would want to buy this package. Where are they at in their career? What are they working on? What are their challenges?
My secret sauce is working with the middle school tweeners. I speak their language, I don't judge them, I meet them where they are, and a lot of times help them through the bump of no longer playing the little and not old enough to play the teen. So what I do is I give them, scene work to work on for the in-between time, that so that when they're back to auditioning, they are, like their script analysis is like bam, that
Okay.
they can just turn it
So
on.
I get what you're saying. So your real clients are their parents.
Yes. Okay. All
So
right.
that is who you're actually talking to. You're not out there
Okay.
selling middle school students on you.
No.
You're selling their parents. And in their language, what do they call this in-between time? How are they describing this period?
It's the awkward time. Like it's that it's how they're just slogging through the awkward and keeping them engaged into acting or dancing itself.
Okay, so every child goes through a transition, or you'd stop saying 99% of all child performers go through this transition point when they're no longer the little child performer, but they're not quite into the ingenue teen roles. So, what do you do? Some performers kind of lose connection to their passion during this time, and some get so discouraged or anxious because they're not necessarily booking roles in this weird, awkward time. But you know what the professionals do? You know what the kids who make a successful transition to their next fertile audition period do? They hone their craft. So that when everything comes back into alignment, their looks, their age, their height, when all the things, they are ready to compete at that level. And my sweet spot and my blah, blah, blah package is here to help your child bridge that gap and make that gap smaller. Okay, so now you've clearly identified. So people are like, oh God, that's the problem. Yep, that's a problem. So that's one part of it. That's what your package is going to do. But what are those parents identifying as the issue? Are they just trying to keep their kid busy and not complaining about auditions? Like, what is the parent going through that they would pay you some money to work with their kid? Or are they super ambitious stage parents? Like, what's their
It varies. So, I mean, I have Los Angeles parents that are definitely, my kids got an audition. I need to tape it. They're completely sounding like a robot. And then I also have, and those are my acting people, but I also have dance parents who live in BFE, South Dakota. And so I am it as far as, access to something beyond their local studio that has maybe 70 kids total. So it's access to a more professional training that they aren't able to get in their own town.
And do these parents want their kids to work professionally? Like, are you trying to get them ready for the major markets? Is that what the deal is?
If it's dance, they're trying to level them up in competitions usually because there are all these regional and national competitions. If it's acting, then to get them ready to submit to whatever their local regional agency would be, making sure that their materials are professional and that they don't completely freeze up in a reading situation.
Do you think it's more, there's more parents out there with the message of bridging the gap of the awkward years, or more parents out there where it's sort of like, is this the year where you want, where you and your child want to level up? And
I think it's, yeah, I think I was trying to kind of, because it tends to be that in between time when they're like, do we level up or do we step away? And so I'm the level up answer.
okay, great. And I, okay, that's what you should go with. So, what you are speaking to the parents, and you're saying to them, you know, there's this gap that 99% of children go through between the everything's working well as the child performer, but we're not quite yet to the next phase of teenage ingenue performer. And this is usually where there's a fork in the road. And some people decide, you know what, it's time for us to step back. And then some people decide, you know what, we are still engaged with this. We are still enjoying this. Let's level up. So either road is fine. Either road needs to be a fit for your family. But if your decision is da da da, we are ready to level up. Let's go for it. Then I would strongly encourage you to book my blah 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 package. I'm taking reservations. We start, you can start. I start with students in August. It's a three session, da da da. It costs this much money, you know, and we will address these problems. And not, don't tell them what you're going to do. It's the problems you're going to solve for them. We're going to get your kid ready. We're going to get them, you know, out of their awkward. We're going to take away all of those bad child actor habits or whatever. And even with the dance, you can frame it the same way. Are we going to step back or are we going to level up? I can polish their performance. I can blah, blah, blah. I can get them ready for this. I can da, da, da. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you said
So,
don't tell them what you're going to do, tell them that you're.
well, don't tell them like, we're going to work on scene study and we're going to work. The parents want to give you money to get a result. And that is, my kid doesn't have bad habits. They can audition at this level or perform without anxiety or whatever. Then there's like, yes, please make that.
Yes, please make that work.
So then your job really in June and July, when you have gaps in your the time that you have available to put towards this job is to find places where you can go in and speak to the parents. Like, and present a little thing of like the top three things or the top five things parents of tweens, of tween performers, never think about or don't take advantage of during this time. And then you come in and you tell them the five things, and you say, the reason I know this is I work with all these kids and they get into these programs, and I have this thing, and you can start booking with me in August. You might want to reserve your seat. I encourage you to reserve your seat now. If you want to start in September, that's fine, but get on my calendar. Get on my calendar is basically the thing. And there's one offer, and here it is, and it's for multiple things. Let's go. And sometimes you'll be able to contact a group, like a dance school, and say, why don't we invite parents to this little symposium? Other times you might do the, you can call it whatever you want, the webinar, the whatever. And then you go around to different either individuals or lists or schools and go, I'm doing this thing on July 14th. I'm giving this presentation online. If you can't come, you can get a replay if you sign up, but you just have the thing and you invite the audience to come. Or you can have the school, a big enough school, have it for their people. So you can do it in-house, or you can do it outside and invite people from all the areas. But your job, if you want to start filling your schedule, August, September, October, November, is you have to get in front of new groups of parents. Does that make
Okay.
sense?
Yes.
And then you have on your website, that's like the main offer on the homepage. You can, have the navigation where other people can find the other things, but it's like, boom, enrolling for the fall. Here's the offer. Here's how you pay. And then when you do your little webinar, record it. You can put that recording right there. Or even
Okay.
better, sign up and watch the top five things that parents don't, and they give you your email. And then you give them the replay. And then if they don't book a week after watching the replay, you send them the email campaign, which is like, hey, did you watch the thing? Do you have any questions? Let me talk about this. Then you can re-talk about the five things. Is your kid like this? And you just sort of nurture them. And you can have like a 10 email sequence that you just sell them, talking about their fears, their desires. Okay, this is how I can, this problem. A lot of parents are thinking this. A lot of kids are anxious about this. I can help. I can help. I can help.
Got it. Okay.
And so you have this little one talk that you can use in three different ways. Inside an organization, you put it on yourself and get audience. Then you take that recording and you use it as an email opt-in on your website. And
Okay.
you just keep finding places to give that little talk. And if you look inside the Creating Cash Flow course, I talk, there's a whole chapter about live presentations, which could be live or online, but how much info you actually need, how much time for Q&A, why you don't end on a Q&A, and you'll want to watch, if you're not familiar with like webinars, although I'm sure you are by now, you've seen a few, you don't want to be awkward when you're transitioning into talking about the offer, and you don't want to leave it for the last 2 seconds. Oh, I don't have an offer. It's like, I would start right from the beginning. The reason we're here tonight is because there's this gap, there's this thing that I have lots of experience helping people through. In fact, I'm already starting to book on new clients for my fall schedule, which is why I wanted to talk to you tonight. Because if I can solve some of the problems you're having, then I would love to work with your child. So right off the top, you're saying we are here to see how I can help you. So what we're going to talk about are five things or three things. And yeah, then you can take some questions, then you come back around. And then, so it's not like you have to teach this whole huge thing. And you don't want to solve anything for them. You want to open up, oh, things for them to think about that then your work with their child will solve. So did you feel like that covered your question?
I think so, because I think my worry was that, just because I'm always pretty scheduled in the summer. This summer just tends to be even more than usual. But what I would like is that can be alleviated next. I want to set it up for an easier next summer because I've had such the cash flow from the coaching business, keeping that as not being so n necessary.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's where I'm at. But yeah, I need to have a Zoom with my web guy because I think that'll help with a lot. So,
Yeah, and you don't need that much infrastructure to make
yeah.
this happen. And the reason I'm encouraging you to have a package and then have an actual thing, a reason to talk to people, which is the top five, whatever, is because just kind of going out there and going, hey, hi, I teach kids and you can book a session starting in August. There's no reason for people to pay attention. You're talking about a specific thing and you have a package that will solve that specific problem. Oh, then you're getting some attention. And you can also weave in like, and I don't know enough to say this, like I'm just pulling this out of my butt, but it's like, sometimes parents think, oh, we'll just, this all will occur naturally. They'll naturally transition from child acting into the next. Nope, these are some problems that like you want to anticipate their objections to paying for help. Oh, this will happen naturally, or it's okay to take a few years off. It's okay, but you can also lose your competitive edge. You just want to make them aware of errors in their thinking on this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Good job.
All
Yeah.
right.
You do really great work with these kids, and kids need to be in the care of someone who actually cares about them. That's another point to make. The reason I want to talk, and you can, this is a great point when you're like, maybe you introduce yourself at a dance school and go, I would really love to work with these kids. I'd love to get introduced to the parents. And the reason I'm asking for this is because it's so important, especially at this age, but at the age for kids to be in the care of teachers who care for them, because there's a lot of people out there who don't. And I know that you do, and your dance school's great reputation, and I care as well. And I thought we would make a really good, match for these parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, crickets. Hi, everybody. Just for the new folks, I'm Christine Aller. I'm the coach and creator of Creating Cash Flow, and this is an open forum. I had Dorothy submitted her question. I have a victory report from Jen, but otherwise, time is open. So if you want to get coached, you can raise your hand. And so I'll manage our time based on like the amount of hands and stuff. Cricket.
Hey, so I'm happy to hear that you don't have a ton of questions. So I'm just gonna tell you what happened yesterday and ask you a question. So I finally did that group coaching session that we talked about a few months ago.
Yes.
And y'all, I'm a film festival consultant, a strategist rather. I help filmmakers strategize their festival plans. And for a long time, I had been doing just an ask me anything session, but I decided to call it group coaching and do some networking in the middle, which worked out really well. That was your idea, Christine. That worked out really well. And I think I have three new clients out of it. So,
No.
and I set a limit. The limit was 10 people, and I had two guests, so it was a total of 12. And I also, it was not donation only, which is what I had always done. It was $25 per person. And
Yeah.
so I knew I was making money, and I knew how much money I was making.
That's right.
So this is all the good stuff. This
Yeah.
is all the stuff that I'm like, thank you, Christine. Just listening to you talk to Dorothy, I was like, oh my God, I left the pitch for the end. I rushed through it. I should have like, I'll remember to do that better next time. But I wanted to run something by you. I had really been wanting this to be a more advanced session, and a lot of people showed up. I would say at least half the people who showed up were people who have no experience with film festivals whatsoever. And I had said, feel free to come, even if you don't have a question for group coaching, because you'll learn something. But then when I saw the li how many people have no experience, I'm like, okay, I need to start with a little mini lecture or talk about, like, here's the film festival world. And because they're not going to understand any of the answers. It's not like your class, right? Like, people are here because I think most everybody has gone through your recordings. So there's a foundation. And so there was no foundation for what I was talking about, some really advanced topics. So I think I spent about 20, 30 minutes on that before I even got to the questions. And then I did feel like, reflecting later in the day, I felt like I did give away too much information again. And that's the teacher in me who's trying to give everyone all the info so they can go do their homework on their own. And then I was like, oh, one of the people wrote me back something that some feedback that was really helpful about how people making their films for the first time are often, they just don't know. Bless him. I'm so excited that he said this, that they don't know that their work's going to be bad until it's not. And no one talks about that. And I said, well, I mean, I went to film school. I teach at a film school. I work in a film school. We have this conversation every single hour of every single day. But people who are learning on their own don't have context. And so I was thinking I need to rebrand this, and it needs to not be an Ask Me Anything or group coaching. It needs to be the Beginner's Guide to the Film Festival World. And that I need to stop trying to answer complicated questions in a group setting. Somebody sent me some questions that were so complicated, and then she forgot to come, and I was so thankful because it would have taken so long to try to unpack what she was talking about. So it's interesting. I think that I need to rebrand that to, this is my question, to not group coaching, not Ask Me Anything, and just do a, oh, by the way, I probably spent seven, well, not seven, maybe 5 hours putting together the slideshow for this yesterday. And I'm like, I don't want to do that for these public events, do a new slideshow every time.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I think I need to just do my Beginner's Guide to the Festival World and then offer it twice a year or something like that.
Yeah, you don't have to do the slideshow. And
Yeah.
do you feel like you have to have two kinds of presentations, one for more advanced people and one for the beginners?
I don't know, because truthfully, the people who are more advanced are an interesting bunch, because a lot of times, and by the way, I think a couple of you have actually attended one of my events. I'm just being honest. A lot of times, people who have dipped their toes into the festival world, they've either had success and they don't need me, or they haven't had success and they're not necessarily open to paying someone to get the information they need. Because the way the system is set up, it looks very easy. And it looks, it does not look co as complex or challenging as it actually is to do a great job, right? Like, I think I talk to filmmakers all the time who missed many, many opportunities because they did not know more about how to navigate and how to ask questions and how to find opportunities. They just didn't see the possibility, so they didn't do it. So I don't know if those people even think that they need help. And so the ad more advanced class, I don't know how successful that would be. Maybe, though, maybe I could take a poll of all my friends.
Yeah, like you don't have to do a freebie for the advanced people unless you think there's a way to shift their thinking into like, oh, maybe I do need her. Like the five things you probably missed on your first time around the film circuit.
Yes.
That's for the advanced people.
Mm
And you're showing them in that five ways they could use you.
yeah.
Did you know about this? Oh, so many people miss this. Oh, this is money left on the table or whatever, you know, opportunities left on the table.
That's
So
really interesting.
you could try one of those and see who comes and see whatever, but you are not there to answer and teach and coach all the things for them. You're there to say, you know, you guys are not newbies. The questions you have for me are nuanced and complex, and we need some time to unpack. And I would only want to give you answers specific to the projects that you're working on. So we would need to, you know, your best use of me is to dig down deep in some private work together. But I wanted you to know that whether or not you work with me, these are the things that I see so often are missed.
Right. That's good.
And so you teach them, you explain the five things, and then you say, you know, do you need any? Is there anyone who needs clarification on anything I've talked about, which is slightly different than do you have a question for me? Do you need any clarification? And then, if you have a small enough group and you kind of want to bop around and get people talking, you could do networking, or you could be like, so what is something you're going to change next time around, or what is something that you know you need to work on? Because then they're admitting, oh, there's something I need to work on. And then you can say, great, well, here's my stuff. We could certainly work on all of those things.
Yeah.
And that's for the non-newbies. And then the newbies, you can do it one of two ways. You can say, sign up for this thing. You're going to watch this presentation, this pre-recorded presentation where you teach the little, all that 25-minute thing you talked about, so that then they can show up for the hour and get coached and get their questions answered. Not in super detail, but just sort of like, hey, now let's have a discussion. What do you think? So that they're understanding, wow, you see, guys, you see how many questions? I still have 10 hands up, or I still have, we could go around three more times and everybody would have more questions. When you have questions, it means you need to get somebody to help you answer those questions. They're all out there if you want to hunt and peck on your nights through the internet. But if you're someone who wants to get the show on the road and has a clear vision and a project that they want to get launched, you should hire me. And we can make this go faster.
That's really good. That's really good. So you think that the lecture should be a recording that I
It's
send?
just one way to do it. If
That's
you'd rather use your
interesting.
time to engage with them than talk at them. That's my preferred thing. I don't like teaching over and over. I mean, you're a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I like to coach, like to interact. So I'm sort of like, here's all the pre-recorded stuff. Go listen to that. and then bring your questions to me. But you can
Interesting.
absolutely
Yeah.
have your 75-minute presentation be you talking for that first 25 minutes, just like you did before, and then going through and going, okay, so what did that stimulate in your brain? What questions and clarifications do you need? And blah, blah, blah. That's fine too. Some people love the teaching part.
Well, the teaching part is really exhausting. So I kind of love
Yeah,
the
it is.
idea of
You are exuding a lot of energy
a
and you're
lot
getting
of
people's
energy.
attention and they can drift. And also, when you're charging money, you're like, you're going to pay me $35. You're going to get this 20-minute thing that you're going to watch, and you're going to come with your, here's your little PDF with lines on it so you can write down some of your questions. And then you're going to come. And what's good about them writing down their questions in advance is it shows them that they have questions. Oh, I'm getting questions.
It does show them that they have questions.
And then I would say during the time, okay, so hopefully you all had your page with some questions. When you hear somebody else ask a question, it might stimulate another question. Write that down on your paper. Start. We're going to make this paper a collection of your questions so that at the end they see they have questions. Even because sometimes people watch something and they're like, I don't even know what to ask. But once other people start asking, they're like, oh, well, I want that too. Because you're not going to get the point is not to get to all of their questions. The point is not to answer all the questions. It's to show them that they have a lot of questions. And that's why they need you.
I love this.
And what you can do in the little pre-recorded thing is use it to you're explaining some stuff, then ask them a question like, is your project a this or a this? Write that down. Like, do you have a question about this? Do you know how to do this? If not, write that under your question. Like, you're helping them process the material you're sharing with them in the form of like, oh yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that. And you can say, it is fine. Nobody knows this until you know it. That's why I'm doing this, so that you will know it. Don't worry about having questions. Make it feel like it's a good thing.
That's really wonderful. So I can write some prompts and get them processing.
And chances are, if you do it that way, you might have a few more people join the live thing.
Okay. I love this.
Good. But I think you do have two audiences. And I think you can get clients from both. Because I think there might be a few more advanced people who didn't quite get what they wanted the first time around.
Well, I do hear that happen all the time, and then and I think that one of the things I need to address the most is managing expectations and handling rejection.
Oh, yeah.
And those are two things that no one wants to hear, but I think it's really important for creating sustainability and resilience.
So that could be like one of those five things. Two of them, expectations, rejection. Five things that see that. People with their first film under their belt or something, people who've been around the circuit need to know. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Now, you could do three. It's better to go sometimes a little deeper because there's a lot to say about rejection and there's a lot to say about managing expectations. Remember, you only have an hour to 75, 60 to 75 minutes here. Question. So I'm not saying you have to do five. Say three or five. It's up to you.
Oh, I think I could easily handle two more.
Yeah.
I
And
know
the other thing,
exactly.
and another way you can do it is here are the five things. And tonight we're going to deep dive into three of them.
Okay.
So now they're like, oh, well, but I want to deep dive into these other two. Yeah, private with me.
Here are the
How am I feeling?
five, but these are the three we're talking about.
We're going to deep dive in. Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Okay.
You're off to the races.
Off to the races. Also, I agree with this monthly or quarterly email to my list. I have not done that. And somebody who registered for yesterday told me they had made some horrible mistakes. And they knew me and they follow me on Instagram and they had forgotten about me.
Forget.
And I
Well,
was like,
that's a
oh,
message from the gods, isn't it?
that is such a message. I'm like, you did what? You went to a festival with no action plan for trying to get into more festivals or networking or business card. You did what?
Yeah. Even if you just send out an email a month, if just a quickie.
Yeah.
Don't go to festivals without an action plan, guys. Get on my schedule. Here's the link. That's all
Oh.
the email has to say. And then your quarterly emails, I mean, this is what you have to talk about. If you're going to do these webinar thingies, well, there's an email about each one of those, right? Get on the
Right.
list for that. Get on the list for that. Get on the list for this one.
Right.
I'm doing it again. Blah, blah, blah. So those emails write themselves. And then in between there, it's like, don't get it. Just you hire me.
Yeah.
And there's your 12 emails for the year.
Oh,
One a month, forget.
yeah.
One a month.
It's so true. All right, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
I need an intern. I'll get on that first. Thank you,
Awesome.
Christine.
You're very welcome.
I really appreciate it.
That's always a pleasure. Therese, I did get your question. I just totally forgot. So Therese is
All
a
has it
what?
actually worked out because I did think of another question that I wanted to add on.
Oh,
So,
good. Perfect. So you are, in all caps, a luxury harpist for hire. Woo! I love it. And an actress and a meditation coach in training, Cashflow Cat. So, victories, you spent the last few weeks reconnecting with your actor and musician community in the city, and you built some new connections and created some more opportunities for the future and started sending out your newsletter.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Good networking stuff. Okay. So, the question you asked, do you want to start with this question or you want to start with the new one?
Let's start with the one that I asked. That would be great.
Okay. Her question was, how do I go about testing new revenue models? I'm thinking about purchasing a smaller harp. It would cost around $10,000. It would allow me to play for smaller events and just make traveling easier. Miata and I thought it would be best to test the waters a bit beforehand. Should I just ask around even before I have the smaller one? Hold on one second.
No
I need
problem.
to adjust something. So, what did you and Miata mean by testing the waters? Like, what was.
So she wanted me to just make sure before I made that purchase, if I did, that there was a market for it. A lot of the times I think people are excited when they see a harp and they're like, yeah, I would love it for this and all this stuff. And, not always do people follow through. So obviously, I also agree that she just wanted to make sure I didn't buy this, smaller harp and I didn't actually like use it for the intention of, the events that I would want to do, which would be like if I wanted to do a smaller event or something. Like sometimes I get asked to do events in Central Park and I'm not lugging my pedal harp in Central Park. There's just no way I can do that. But if I had a smaller one, that might be feasible. Things like that, things like rooftop kind of situations, lounges. Even like making music, if I wanted to do that, and that would be something that I might not always get paid as much as like the luxury harp thing goes. But yeah, I didn't know for me if this would be distracting me from that kind of focus of focusing on the luxury harp experience and just trying to cater to more things. That makes sense.
And can you rent a harp?
That is a great question. I don't know 100% for sure, but I can definitely look into that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be if you can't like, and I ask that because sometimes like musicians are like, no, I must play on a harp that is mine and
I mean, I
you know,
would
like,
love to because you feel more comfortable with it, but I don't know until I, know. Maybe I can rent things for like a period of time, and that would give me time to practice and also like have certain events within that period of time. So, yeah, it's definitely something that I would look into.
Because if you could, then the revenue modeling on the rental is like, let's just say they rent it to you by the month. And what do you think? Do you give me a ballpark? Like, what do you think a harp rental for a month would be? Are we talking $500,
Yeah,
$100?
it depends on the harp. If it's a smaller one, it could range from like maybe 200 to 300, and a pedal harp could range from like that kind of depends, but it could range from like 500 to 800.
Yeah. So let's just say you rented a $300 rental fee for a month. Then the question is like, how many events does it take for you to earn back that fee plus whatever you want to earn from the gigs themselves? You know, and so, or you find out, you know, where you can rent a harp from. And how much lead time they need? How often is this harp rented out? Is it, you know, all the time, or is it pretty like, nope, it gathers dust, so you can pretty much count on it being there? Because then you can just book yourself for a smaller event, include the rental fee, half the rental fee, and then find another event close to that one. I don't think a $10,000 investment to buy another harp. Because then all of your harp business is paying back that harp purchase up to the next $10,000 of your side business.
For sure.
It's not like you can play the harp and you have no harp. Then it's like you need a harp to have a harp business. The bigger harp and the luxury events is going to make more money than smaller events. So instead of the way I look at it is instead of the time it would take you to do a smaller event with a smaller harp, just take that time and try to land a bigger gig. Just put that towards marketing time instead of harp performing with a smaller harp time.
Yeah, no, that makes absolute sense. I think, yeah, the people pleaser in me that I'm out working, the recovering people pleaser in me wants to just like jump at all of the people who are interested and like accommodate everyone's needs. But obviously, as a new business owner, I'm realizing that you only got time for certain things. So really being strategic about how I use my time, energy, and resources makes sense. So that makes absolute sense. That's so helpful.
Yeah, you're just, you don't have the small harps. You're not in the small harp game. It'd be nice to play on a rooftop with a small harp. And if they want to pay for the rental fee plus your fee for being there, they want a harp that bad, then they can float that. Like that, you'll show up for that. You know, but you also have to plan out the time to go get the rental harp, to get the thing, and then to return the rental harp. Like it's all part of the package. So I almost think you're priced out of the small harp market.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. And I really agree. We have to be very careful because people can say all sorts of things. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you. If I had a dollar for every time I'd have a good side business for if I had a dollar for every time someone was like, oh, you are an organizer. Oh my God, I need you so bad. Oh my God, oh my God. Talk a great game. Never hear from them. Sometimes people just like the idea of it.
Yes,
And they
so
want you to feel good. Oh, you could play our rooftop event and owe me the money.
but we don't have time for that. We need actual things.
And it's not like you're showing up here going, I want to only be in the heart business.
Yeah,
There's
yes,
other
exactly. Thank you
things.
for the reminder. And you know, that was another thing too, because as I build out the meditation coaching, you know, a lot of what I want to do is sound healing and sound baths and things like that. So I thought it might be nice to have a smaller instrument once I'm able to do like more like in-person events with my meditation coaching. But that's just not something that I think that I have to really think about right now. And I can still do those kind of events with my harp. It just depends on where I do it. So it's not a necessity for me to have this. And honestly, the more we talk about it, the more I feel like that would be more of a distraction from me getting those actually bigger jobs that I want.
Yeah. And if you were coming here and going, no, but I really want the small harp, then I would say, great. A portion of all of your luxury harp jobs just go into an account. And when you have $10,000 or a portion of your all acting jobs, meditation, just a portion of what you earn goes into an account. And as soon as you have $10,000 in cash, you can buy a small harp.
Boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my second question. Thank you for all that helpful information you shared with Crick, because that actually made me think. Well, first part, want to connect with some luxury event coordinators and corporate event coordinators. I'm curious if you think it would be a good idea to do that connection on LinkedIn or postcards like mailing situations or Instagram. Do you think any of those methods are better than the other?
I have no data to
Got
tell
it.
you, like, oh, this is better. I
Yes.
would say all of it.
Okay.
I
All
would, well, not really. I would say you have to look at what your level of energy and time, what you're able to handle doing, and then you have to test.
okay.
Maybe you spend a month on Instagram and see what bites you get there. And then you spend, meaning the time you have for a month. I'm going to just deep dive into LinkedIn, learn how to kind of like use it, set up my profile so it will serve me when people check me out, and then go find people and see what happens. And then you do the same thing for a month's worth of Instagram, finding people, DMing that, like, and you see sort of if one feels easier for you, or if you like one better, or if you get more bites from one. And
Got
then
it.
maybe you do a postcard mailing.
Yeah,
See.
I was thinking maybe doing a postcard mailing to like venues, and then maybe doing more personal touches like LinkedIn or Instagram messaging with with just me reaching out. I was thinking about that because you know you don't always have that you don't always know if someone is at the building who is at the building. So yeah, I'll definitely test it out and see what works. But within that, I was curious, a new thought that I had was, I might be just making more work for myself, but do you think that it would be a good idea to have like either a recorded presentation or a webinar for event coordinators centered around hiring luxury entertainment?
Okay, give me the three reasons why they should hire you.
Why they should hire me?
Yeah, why having a big, giant, wonderful harp at their event is awesome.
Because
What would
it's,
you add?
yes, it airs a level of uniqueness, something that not everyone sees. I mean, that's, it brings the event to another level in terms of aesthetic because of the way that the harp looks. And it provides an ethereal, atmospheric music to the event.
You named it. Three things. There's an aspect of novelty. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's a harp. Many people actually have never been in close quarters with a harp before, and it's such a great, beautiful instrument. It adds an air of sophistication. Immediately, it's taking it up a few levels. And if that's what your client wants, a harp is like shorthand for sophistication. That's a good phrase. A harp is shorthand for sophistication, and the sound of it creates an atmosphere. And if what your client wants is soothing and lush and romantic, and that's, if that's what you're trying to say with the flowers, and that's what you're trying to say with the lighting, then that's what you're also trying to say with the soundscape. And a harp, what's great about a harp is it can be in the foreground sonically or in the background sonically. Whereas sometimes a band is just like, Jesus Christ, there's the band, And as a live instrumentalist, I can also adjust to the room. I'm having a live instrumentalist who's seasoned at doing high-end events. I can attune myself and adjust to the room. So it's never overpowering and it's really supporting the atmosphere. Now, those are three things that you can say pretty darn quickly. What I would do is I would use a service like Bonjero, which allows you to create little videos and email them to people, and it creates a little GIF that you can insert in an email. And then what you do is you take a post-it note and you say, "Hi, Donna," the woman's name, if the woman's name is Donna, and you do a little beginning to the video of, "Hi, Donna," and then the GIF will be you waving with, "Hi, Donna." It's like, oh my God, she like literally filmed that for me. And then your video is, "Hey, Donna, just wanted to introduce yourself so you can see what," and you have your harp right there in the background. And you say, 90 seconds of your time, Donna. I just want to say, if you are looking for these three things, I can deliver on them. Having a solo instrument, the harpist does this. It's a novel idea, it's a shorthand for sophistication. And it adds, if you're going for a lush, romantic, just exactly take exactly what I just said, write out a little script. Deliver it into the camera, send Donna a video, and then do one for Derek. Hi, Derek. That's what I would do instead of postcards.
I love that. I
And
love that.
that's what I would do because it makes you into a real person, not an email. Your gorgeous instrument, and they get a sense of your vibe.
Yes.
Everyone's worried that everyone's nuts.
Yeah, of course.
And you can, I would say that at the end, and I am not crazy. I am great and very well-mannered at luxury events. I've been doing it for years.
Yes, I
And that
love that.
lowers their defenses.
Perfect.
Yeah. So
Ah,
just
oh, so
keeping in
sweet.
mind.
I would love to receive something like that, just thinking on the other hand. So that's
Yeah.
great.
You would immediately, especially if they just lost their harp person who moved to another state. And you come along and you have this video and you seem nice and well spoken and experienced, they'll save you. Like, yeah.
It's definitely someone, something to remember. That's great. That's
So,
great.
venue people, event planners, just your marketing time, honestly, finding their emails, sending them custom videos.
Got it. Got it.
That's all you do.
I love that. That's so great.
Also, the thing about the personalized video is that it's upmarket. You're talking to them in the language of upmarket. I'm not just sending you a postcard or an email. I'm doing this in a sophisticated way. So immediately they're getting that vibe of like, oh, she'd
Yeah.
fit right in.
I love that. And last part of that, do you think, is there like a follow-up situation in that? Or do you think that in that email, I could also include like a link to my mailing list if they want to stay in touch?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it
Yeah.
just, do you have, so the little message in
Yeah.
the email would just be like, I have a 90 second
Video.
message I just wanted to say, and if this is something that fits your needs, you can just save this email or hop on my mailing list
Yeah,
and
perfect.
I'll make sure
Great.
that we stay in touch. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you're incredible. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I just don't want you sitting there on $10,000 of debt and just being like, okay, I hope somebody hires me for a harp.
No, thank you. I
No, that just no. Stress,
would
stress,
I
stress.
love another heart though? Yes, but
Yeah.
not now.
Your
Oh
harps are like tattoos. Once you get one, you're like,
my gosh, I spent all night just looking at harps. So yes, but thank you for curbing my desire for right now.
Yeah, but I would also, it's a good idea to know where you could rent a small one. If
Yeah, I do
someone's willing to
have some ideas.
pay,
For
yeah.
that, I definitely have some ideas, and connecting to the community definitely helped with that. But yeah, that's yeah, definitely gave me some more things to think about. So thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Off to the races. Who's next? Helen. Hello, my friend.
Hello.
Hello.
Should I introduce myself?
Please do.
Yes, hi, I'm Helen Highfield. My side business is Highfield Home, which I'm an interior stylist. I work in interiors and design. My question is, as always, kind of a ramble based on other things that I'm hearing. That was a very helpful conversation about like investing in the next piece of equipment, because that is also what my brain is spinning about currently. The update since last week, so there's kind of two updates that they're smushed together. Since last time we spoke, we were talking, I was like panicking about needing to send this potential client a contract. And as much as I was, kind of fired up to have the pressure of like, and now I figure out a contract, it also came at a time where I was working a job that just finished on Friday that was like 10-hour days, really long commutes, overtook my life. And so I just stayed stuck in anxiety. And in my communication with her, I was catching myself like not really rising to the occasion, and I was kind of frustrated about it. But it seemed like casual enough that we could kind of push things off. Anyways, I finally, like, we kind of circled back about a couple of things yesterday. And then she was like, I think I'm just going to take it from here, which was a little ouchy, but also kind of validating, because I was like, yeah, I wasn't really doing, I wasn't showing up in the way that I wanted to show up. And it felt like a relief, honestly, for a few reasons. So this is also coupled with general needing to recover from this kind of exhausting job. But then also, the other assistant that I was working with is an interior designer, and she was giving me a ton of advice. And so the good news about the contract anxiety is that it had me asking this girl a lot of questions, and she was so lovely and sending me, like, she sent me her contract. She like walked me through it. She explained a whole bunch of stuff. So like, I feel like I still got the win of like I learned a lot, and I have some resources, and now I have a new friend who is like so generous with her time and energy and loves helping. It was so wonderful. I had a great connection with her, so that's kind of the win of that. And one of the things that we were talking about and has been on my mind is there's the program SketchUp, which is kind of like AutoCAD. It's like architects use it, but a lot of designers use it for renderings and stuff. There's other things you can use instead of that. I tried one and I hated it. The designer girl showed me another one that she uses that seems a little more straightforward, but I haven't quite gotten messed around with it. You have to pay monthly. And SketchUp seems to be the, oh, I know that girl's texting me. Great. But SketchUp seems to be kind of the industry standard, especially because I've looked at job listings occasionally for like assistant designers or like, bottom of the whatever entry level, entry level design jobs. And this girl also had recently applied to something, even though she's had her own business for 4 years. She applied, she was like, I think I want to be a part of a team. And even though she has so much work to show for it and is a great designer, they chose someone who knew SketchUp over her. So her main advice was like, take a pause, learn the stuff now, even though it doesn't feel entirely applicable to the styling design stuff that I'm doing, right? I'm like kind of just helping people judge their apartments. And this feels much more heavy duty. I'm kind of curious about just the general education of it. It seems fun. I've had it on my list. It was like, that's something to do. And she and I were like, oh my God, it's a, there's also, so you buy SketchUp, and then there's a lot of people who offer courses of how to learn how to use it for interior design. So there's one, we each had one that we looked at. We looked at one together and we're like, oh, maybe we, it's like a self-guided course, but maybe you're my accountability buddy. And because she's like, listen, even though I'm ahead of you, like I'm realizing I should have done this. So I like the opportunity of that. However, when I looked at all the system requirements, my sweet little baby MacBook Air that I'm speaking to you from is just not going to cut it. And I've been kind of wanting to upgrade to a MacBook Pro anyways. So now I'm faced with like, oh, am I buying a new computer and SketchUp and the course to learn SketchUp? And then like through that, committing financially to like, I'm trying to be an interior designer, which is both exciting and scary. Well, no, it's exciting, but I think I have a little voice that's like, should I be going this hard on something that's supposed to be a side thing? Or is it like engaging enough and interesting enough to me that like I want to put this much energy while stuff is slow for me acting wise? Because I've mostly, it's been really exciting to like make progress with Highfield Home and build it and all of that. And this feels like, okay, you said you want to do this, go. But then the I go a little like, oh, but I'm just trying to be an actor who can like pay their rent. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. So let's start with, are things slow with your acting because you're not paying any attention to it and doing things for it to move it ahead?
Possibly. I mean, I'm not really. I'm not actively doing like casting director workshops or whatever I guess I could be doing. So yes, I'll say that there's probably some of that, but I also generally feel like the consensus among fellow actors and people that I coach is that the industry is weird and slow. So I'm not taking it necessarily like it's just a personal thing.
Yeah. Oh, we're going through a weird moment in the industry, like for sure. So, yes. But really, this is a point of you getting clear of what do you want. And you can want whatever you want. But the gal you were talking to, I'm assuming from it sound like she is a designer. Like that's
She's,
her thing.
totally.
That is a different trajectory than the one you've stated you are on. Now you can switch the trajectory, but you don't want to be doing things in the vein of a full-time design business if it is a part-time design business. That's where you get into fiscal trouble, really. And it's okay if you were like, I'm gonna let acting just kind of go for 2 years, and I'm gonna sort of, that's fine. You can do that as an experiment. But what you don't want to do is fool yourself. You don't want to fool yourself thinking that acting's primary when you're not really giving it primary energy. And you don't want to fool yourself that you need to invest in all this stuff when in actually that's not what you want to do. So I just want you to decide. And you might not be at the point where you are ready to decide. You might still be in a very experimental thing. But while you're in an experimental thing, you don't buy a sophisticated program and then devote your time to learning it when you can go find clients who will give you hundreds of dollars to help them zhuzh their apartment. And I understand what she's saying, but she's saying that from the point of view of someone who's doing it full time, like, oh my God, I wish I'd learned this. Let's take a step back and like learn all the things. Because she was applying for a job at a thing because that's what she wants to do full time.
The only other like idea that I've had about this program is that maybe if I learn it, it will help. And I guess I need to maybe figure learn get more info on this. But my idea is that because it's a program that I would learn and do on my time, it would add to the kind of remote, flexible nature of that side hustle where it's like part of the presentation I send you is this super cute mock-up, and I can do that from my trailer in, on location or whatever.
You'll find ways to use it. It's a good tool. I understand the utility of the tool. A way that might be a better approach, what if one of you bought the course that taught you and the other person paid that person half of the cost of the course and you both used the same login?
We
Because
talked about
I
that.
think. Yeah, because I think actually before you invest in the tool, I think if you just watched the course on how to learn it, you would be able to decide like, oh, I don't want to do this.
You know, I might even have one better than that, which is the chick who offers these courses. I mean, they're, you can bundle. There's the one for iPad, there's the layout, but whatever, there's bundle. She's smart at marketing. And she has one that is $10, and it's the SketchUp 101. And I think maybe I spend $10 and go like, do I even want to do this?
That's right. Yep. And then if you decide you do want to do it, I'm wondering if there's a way where one of you buys the mem or whatever the investment in the tool and you go halvesies and then just use the same login. I don't know if it will, like,
Oh,
maybe
for the
that will be saved designs
actual
and
SketchUp, I don't
yeah,
think you
I
can
don't know if it
share.
will do that. But
No, I
definitely
don't
do
think you
that
can share that.
$10 course. Do the $10 course and just be like, do I even? And then I'm sure there's stuff on YouTube about it as well. But my question is, can you make money with your design skills without SketchUp and just go get some clients who will pay you to do their apartment? Because it's one thing to be able to offer, like, ooh, but I guarantee you, I would say the majority of your clients don't need that. Don't even know it exists as an option. And we don't want you to be like, okay, we'll have a consultation and then I'll send you this thing and I've done all this work and but you need to pay me for all that. Like, it doesn't need to be a freebie thing. You know, I just think that's a lot of trouble. I think you could slow yourself down adding a sophisticated tool like that on top of a side business that just doesn't need it. It makes 100% sense if you want to go full time. But
Totally.
then you and your acting career need to have a discussion.
No, and I think it's also the timing of having the anxiety about this potential client and having that kind of go like, oh, that didn't actually come together. And, I want to take accountability for my part in that. Like, I
Yeah.
don't feel like I was showing up how I wanted to. And going up, I think I have a little bit of like, well, maybe if I had just shown up with these fancy tools, then I would have, if I could be better prepared next time. Like, when really that's not the thing that tanked it.
Yeah. And I love, and the pressure of the contract got you talking to this person about it, which got you all that contract information. So step one now is just draw up your contract
Contract.
so that you're ready for the next person. Because I think that there's something going on within you that we could call, for lack of a better term, like an imposter syndrome. And you're like,
100%.
oh, but if I have these SketchUp things, that'll make me feel real. And I'm like,
Totally.
no. Can have nothing, no logo, no website, and show up and be like, I can fix your apartment.
I
And
know
someone
my
will go,
the
okay, great, because I can't. So here's the money.
I know the metaphor I've been saying all week is like, I feel like I've been telling everybody that I'm an aviation enthusiast, and everybody is like, great, I'll buy a ticket for a plane ride. And I'm like, cool, I'm a pilot now. Oh my God, I don't have a plane. And I'm like trying to build a plane as people are boarding, which is not necessarily true. It's
Yeah.
okay.
Kate?
Hey, Helen, you may be aware of this tool. It's called Milanote. I put it in the chat. I know about it because of a Canadian designer that I follow on YouTube, and she uses this for her presentations to her remote clients. So I just thought I'd flag that for you in case.
Oh, thank you. I'll look into it. Yeah, I
Thank you.
don't have the chat up. Thank you.
Yeah, so you are building the plane. Everyone who
Yeah.
starts a side business, you just start.
Yeah.
And then the real discernment, though, comes with, like, you don't want to add anything to the plane that nobody even needs. They
Right.
don't even know they're missing it.
Right.
That's a side business. That's how you keep your overhead low,
Oh.
which is how you make a net profit.
Yeah.
Low overhead. Because
Yeah.
subscriptions to tools and things like that eat into your net profit. And there is a
Totally.
whole section of clientele you can serve who's not even expecting that.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And your little imposter syndrome is like, oh, but you look more fancy and they'll trust you more and they need it. They need it. They don't even know. They're not even expecting it.
Or even that I'll be able to justify to myself charging more, I think is a
No,
lot of what it is.
just charge more.
Yeah.
I would rather you test an experiment, test the, you have to have fancy things in order to charge more. Let's test that theory. Why don't you just charge more,
Charge more.
see, and prove to yourself that you don't need
Yeah.
it rather than let me just get it and then charge more. And you'll never know if you
Yeah.
needed it. I'd like to prove it to yourself that you don't need it.
Okay.
Or prove it to
Yeah.
yourself that you do need it, but you have to prove it.
Right.
Like, and proving it would be losing clients because they all ask you for an artistic rendering before they sign on. Then you know you need something when
Right.
across the
Right.
board, people are not choosing you because of that.
Right. 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 Or if I were to decide to apply to something and it was a requirement for a job that if I was making the switch and was like, well, I'm applying, I need this skill. Yeah.
Yeah, then you devote like 4 weekends of a month and you just learn that. You learn it,
Yeah.
you take all the courses and you do the thing. Yeah, but you're not, that's not what you're doing yet.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
And you're just as valuable as that other lady is. She's serving a different set of clients than you are, and you're valuable to your clients and she's valuable to her clients.
Yeah. Okay.
Good deal.
Thank you.
All right. So then the last thing, this isn't something for you to answer. It's something for you to ask yourself. What do I need to put in place? And who would I turn to talk to if I find myself in the same position where someone wants to hire me and my anxiety is getting the better of me and not allowing me to show up? What do you need to put in place? And who would you turn to unwind yourself from that so you can step into a person? Because I think that's going to happen again. And this is a little knot from something in your past that you're untying here with this allowing people to give you money. Okay, so answer those two questions for yourself. But good to talk to you and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Anybody else? We have 10. Karen Eileen.
Yes, let me see if I can get my camera on. One second. Hi, can you hear me? I've been changing my sound all day today, so let me see.
Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Okay. Let me do that. That's better. Hi, hello. I wanted to check in on the thing we talked about last session, which was...
Okay, so you are...
Oh,
a...
hi.
Introduce yourself.
Hi. I forget. Yes, let me...
Me too.
Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Eileen. I am a cash flow tiger who mostly feels like a cash flow kitten. And... What else is part of the intro?
What do you do?
What do I do? I'm an actor and a writer. And when I'm not doing that, I am a voiceover coach and a workshop facilitator, or sometimes keynote speaker. That's my gig. I also have parents at home with me who are having wellness challenges. And so one of the things I talked to Christine about last session was, do I want to figure out a way to turn the help I am doing for my parents into some sort of temporary income so I can back away from one of my coaching jobs that's kind of burning me out and free up some time and energy to look for something else, which I'm looking for. So I set a goal for myself to have some sort of contract to show you today, and I did not meet that goal because I had to do far more processing on the topic than I thought. So I am busy doing research and I've got places to check, but it's now shifting into, do I want to temporarily lean hard into this? Meaning, can I get a livable wage doing all these things for my parental units, maybe through the end of 2024, to set a very hard deadline? I'm going to do this for you guys through the end of the year. And I'm going to have Christmas off. I'm going to have New Year's off. Like, all I'm going to have the things off, the hours, what happens. But when I calculated the numbers, when I did the actual numbers, and like, thank God for Quicken and Elena and you and all these guys, because I don't have to wonder what this one particular side gig is paying me. I can pull a report. So this one particular gig is getting me about $1,000 a month, anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 a month. It's my biggest consistent side gig at the moment. I get about $40 an hour before taxes, and I'm a 1099 worker. So with all the work that comes in and after taxes, it's, I didn't do that math, but let's do it. So it's after taxes would be 28. And it takes me at least half the time. So it's kind of $14 an hour, right? So it's when I'm like, yay, $40 an hour. When I do all the actual number crunching, I'm working for $14 an hour, which feels less awesome. I love paying it forward. I love the students. It's burning me out. So, maybe I could just replace that $1,500 a month with what I'm doing with my parents and say thank you so much to this wonderful company. And bless them on their way. I still do lots of other voiceover coaching in other places. That's more satisfying. It is more satisfying for me to do the one-on-ones with really motivated students. That's a joy. The university level stuff, I still haven't explored because it feels like I need the bandwidth to launch a campaign to find those clients. And it feels mountainous. I have your notes about send one email. I have your notes. And even that feels a little mountainous. Because I need to put together the list of theater and music and dance department heads. I need to. So I just wanted to come and chew on this a little bit with you. And again, I'm not getting a giant megaphone in my ear saying, you are out of your fucking mind. Like, I'm not hearing that. In fact, when I think about leaning into it temporarily, it feels expansive. It feels light. It feels easy. It feels like a relief of some kind. And so I'm just wanting to do a reality check with Ms. Aller.
Yeah. Well, have you talked to your parents now? Like, what are their feelings?
No. And the reason I haven't talked to them is I'm doing something else that I've talked about in a previous cash flow session, which is using everything from Abundance Bound to create 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months of expenses for my mom, because she, shockingly to me, has no idea what's happening with her money. Right. I thought she was a budgeting queen all my life, and I'm just blown away. So I'm all the extra time is still going to gathering all that data. So I have a picture, and then I can say to her, it's costing you guys 10 grand a month to live, but we can cut 2 grand here, and I'd like that to be my salary. So that's why I haven't approached her. But if you think it's a good idea to have a preliminary conversation, I certainly can.
It's probably better to come with a little bit of data. I'm just wondering, is she open to having you help her with the budget and then paying for help?
I know she's open to having me help her with a budget, which is kind of a miracle, because she's like, I'm ready to have you show me what to do. Let me know if I can help you. That's a huge shift in the past month, I would say. And so she's willing to release credit card statements to me. She's willing to give me the box of receipts. Like, all of that's a green light. Okay. And before it was like, no, 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 no. So that's that's a change.
Okay. So then the way I would make the presentation is, okay, mom, so here's the thing. I think we can, you know, make adjustments to the budget that would free up this much money. It seems like you and dad need help doing this and this and this and this. And, you know, I've looked at some services that provide people to come into the home and do that. And it's about this much money.
Okay. Right.
I would be willing to do it for this much money.
Okay.
A little bit less.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the same. Because I know your mom doesn't want stranger danger in her house.
Correct.
Yeah. So yeah. But then it's her decision. And the thing about it is, I would encourage you to speed this along and have this conversation, because if she says no, then
I'm wasting time.
You need to move on.
Yeah. Okay. And I just wanted to also share a win, which is I talked to a fellow actor that I met on a set, and she was like, I had to find a W-2 job, and I set up a new LinkedIn profile, and I'm happy to help you. So she is throwing me all kinds of support. I'm in the process of setting up a new LinkedIn profile specifically for the corporate W-2 universe. So that feels
awesome.
A big win.
Kate, I saw your hand.
Hi.
Yes, thank you. Forgive me because I wasn't here when you had the previous conversation, but I think what I'm hearing you say is that you want to set up this situation with your parents where, rather than paying a stranger, they would pay you and it would be a win-win. But then my question is, what would be the, are you in for the long haul, or is this temporary for you? And if it's temporary for you, what does transitioning out of that job look like? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how would you manage that part of it? Because I think that could be sticky.
I agree. Yeah. That's a great point. And I also wrote down substitute. What if you get sick? If you want to take Christmas off, New Year's off, because they are going to get used to your care.
I see. I'm talking out loud. I have a mama who's very resistant at the moment. Like Christine said, stranger danger. She just does not want anybody she doesn't know in the house, and you can't get to know anybody unless they come into the house. It's very normal. So maybe one of the requirements of the contract I would draw up would be, I'm going to have the last Friday of every month off, or the last weekend of every month off, and this person from this organization is going to come in once a month. To as a trial, Or whatever I set up, or it's going to be once a week. Like I'm off on Saturday and Sunday, and so we're going to have this person on call if anything happens. To start to introduce it along with my taking on some work for them. But the whole purpose of taking on the work would be so I could give up some of the coaching that's draining me, and have more bandwidth to find the W-2 job that I'm going to be.
It sounds great on paper. And I think Kate and I both can foresee a concern. Okay. By the way, for everybody who's new, Kate London is the Ask Kate in the Abundance Bound community. She's my assistant and an amazing resource and fabulous person. And Kate, do you have a minute to stay on after this is done? I wanted to ask you something. Okay, great. So what Kate and I are kind of foreseeing, though, is this requires boundaries.
Yeah.
Because your mom would have to understand that you're providing like cleaning and food prep and whatever your list is.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's going to be interpreted as 24/7 on care, 24/7 on call.
Well, that's why, I mean, and even if I write the contract, because she hasn't been assessed, but my mom may have some cognitive shifting going on.
Yeah.
Even if the contract is there and she reads it and signs it and understand it, there's no guarantee that a month from now she's going to remember what she did. So, so that's also very challenging.
Yeah. So I understand how your parents need help. You need money. You're there. You can provide the help. But I'm not sure when it's a family dynamic, how you're going to hold those boundaries, considering the challenges you've had in the past with kind of like painting your help at the moment.
So I'm not hearing either one of you say, you think this is a very bad idea. I'm not hearing that. Am I hearing you correctly? Or are you saying that? You're allowed to talk to me like that, by the way.
I understand. Yeah. I mean, and Kate, if you have a strong opinion, let me know. I mean,
please, goddess. Yeah.
I see a lot of potential difficulties.
All right.
In that, I'm not sure it's going to give you, because you talk about it, it's like, great, I'll replace this income and it'll free up some time and energy that I can then put towards looking for another job. And when I get that other job, I'll drop this job. And
I'm like,
oh, this is not as cut and dried. Because you're in the same home and it's your parent.
Yeah, all of that.
And there's been difficulty with boundaries.
So other than that, it's a great idea.
The other thing about jobs, this is for everybody. One of the things you really have to look at, especially if it's a side business, one stream of income, is it has to be a scenario in which there's not scope creep.
What is that?
That means, okay, like, hi, Kate, I'm hiring you to be my assistant and I want you to do these five things. Mm-hmm. Oh, and can you do this? Oh, and while you're doing that, could you also do like this stuff? And it just like her job starts to just take on like, whoa, this isn't what I even signed up for. It just gets bigger and bigger for the same amount of money. Like kind of even I'll pay you more, Kate, but I want you to do this thing. And she's like, but I don't want to do this thing because we never even discussed that being part of my job. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. It just starts to grow and creep. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with caregiving and when you're dealing with family, that scope creep can just be really hard to contain without the other. Even if you're like, no, I've got good boundaries, your mom might be interpreting the exchange of money as getting her more than the container you would like to provide. I just think that could go sideways really fast.
Wow.
It would be completely differently if you were providing this service for another family. Because then you'd be in and it'd be your 15 hours a week and they would be paying you and that. It'd be clean and crisp.
Yeah.
But this is a whole other story. Because when your mom is paying you every month and she needs help at midnight, like, or she wants to have, like, you know.
Yeah, no, whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be hard to say. And I think that you're going to have all the same difficulties bringing in even like substitute help.
Yeah.
that you're having now bringing in any help.
Oh, interesting.
So it looks great on paper and you can see the advantages if it was boundaried. But I am not sure the odds are in your favor of keeping it boundaried. So I am wondering if maybe just getting a job is just better. Use your frustration with like, I don't want to work for this voiceover company anymore to be like, yes, so go get something else to replace that income. You only need to replace $1,500.
It's not huge.
It's not even a full-time job. It's just go get $1,500 of income, sell one speaking gig a month to a university for $2,000. Like,
I got you.
I just think there's easier ways than going into this thing with your family because your brother's also going to be involved. Like, it's a family affair and it's,
The only thing I'd add is that part of what you're saying you want to achieve is to reduce stress. And I just don't know
Topic.
any caregiving situation where the stress gets lower, you know, when you're caring for older people. So,
I'm hearing you. I am absolutely hearing you, and I'm gonna have to process all of this. Like the things I would do for them, I guess maybe I've compartmentalized the kind of things they are. But when I think of caregiving, I think of like helping somebody bathe or dress or feed them their medications, like very much more intimate things. The things that I'm thinking of taking on are cleaning the house and making the meals. So not dealing with their medical or their health or their wellness issues, but things they would hire a like a housekeeper really to do.
And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer.
No, I brought it here because I want to hear what you guys have to say. I
So
will I yeah.
the other thing I can foresee is you're there providing house cleaning, cook meal prep, like those kind of things.
Yeah.
But then something happens, like a little mini earthquake, and suddenly, yeah, you're doing all of this stuff for the money, but then suddenly more stuff. And now you are like engulfed in a caregiving situation where you are the point person to get them help and to bring in the help. And you're also doing all of this stuff for the money. And then your brother's like, hey, they're paying you. So, like, there's just layers to this that could get really sticky really fast. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I could
No, I
just
know.
see it happen. And it's not as cut and dried. I think you could just be putting yourself in a situation that's really hard to get out of. And I think on your plan on paper is like, okay, I do it for a year and then
And
it's
then I'm
like,
gone. Heard, heard.
yeah. I mean, I'd rather you go sign up for a caregiving service and go do that for somebody
I
else.
don't want to do this for anybody else is the thing. Like I would do it for them because I love them. They're my parents, but I have no interest in being like a housekeeper or a personal chef. Like I don't feel like that's my jam.
Yeah. And I think it would only be attractive if you're like, I can get out of this at any time. And I'm like, but
Yes.
can
Is there a way to set it up so that I
you?
could? I don't know.
Because I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And also, I don't think it's going to give you the, it could quickly devour your bandwidth because of scope creep. It
That
could
sounds
devour your
horrible.
bandwidth to go get something. Whereas if you now, before your parents need you more, like just for the real thing, like if your mom's cognitive decline starts to decline as well as your dad's, before that, if you go and get an
A
outside
gig.
stream of income that you then have in place that you can use as an anchor, if you ever have to start handling some other stuff unpaid wise with your brother and your parents and your family, you've got this that is not dependent on this part of your life.
That's
And that
interesting.
you can be like, oh, I've got to go do my job. Bye. Like you
Yeah.
have an excuse. Because if you take this on for the work and the money, it's just going to become, it could easily become the expectation.
There are other times in my journey, both with money and other things, where I've chosen what I feel like is an easier path because it looks like on paper it would save time or save money. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it's an epic disaster. And I'm like, I wish I hadn't tried to save blah, 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 because it would have been worth it. But hindsight, right? So it's a gamble.
It is. It is a gamble. And I think Kate and I are just going, the odds may not be in your favor for the
It's
gamble.
not escaping my brain that both of you are like, I'm gonna
Yeah.
marinate
So
some.
some food for thought. Some
Yeah,
food for
okay.
thought. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today and being here. Have a wonderful couple of weeks. I'll see you again in June.
You can unmute and say goodbye if you'd like.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks
Thanks for
for
bringing all the
kissing.
good questions forward. It was great
Thank
today.
you.
Bye.
Thank
Always a
you.
pleasure.